All rise.
The Evan Bray Show. The Round Table of Justice.
Welcome to Monday morning. 10 o'clock means the Round Table of Justice, where we every week, Monday at 10 o'clock, dig into a different issue that's got a justice or community safety slant to it. And sometimes it can be on the back end of the justice system. So you think about last week on the roundtable, we brought in a couple of great guests, had a really good dialogue about bail and sentencing reform, given the fact that the federal government has come out with a piece of legislation to try and keep our communities safe. I know that's the goal of it. We could argue back and forth whether it's going to achieve it. It seems like many people don't think that it will. It's more of a political ploy than anything, but that's what we dug into. We had a couple of different experts on the show talking about what can we do once people have committed a crime to make sure that they aren't back out in the community if they're still a danger to the community. Now, sometimes we have to flip the script on this, and we have to look at the front end of the justice system. I love the analogy, and I remember listening to it years ago. A former chief of the Regina Police Service, Cal Johnston, told the story, used the analogy about, you know, a person is walking along beside a river, and they see a person floating in the middle of the river screaming and asking for help. And so as the person that's there that can offer help, you try and offer some assistance in some way. You hold a branch out, whatever, and get the person out of the river. Before you know it, another person comes floating down, drowning, screaming, and asking for help. So you get a few more of your friends to come over. There's people in the river here. We got to find a way to pull them out. And then more people are coming down the river screaming for help. And you say, you know what we need to do? We need to get together and buy a boat. Because if we could actually be in the river to help these people, then we could do that. Or if we could get funding, we could build some sort of a bridge apparatus over top of the river so that it would be easier for us to reach down and pull the people out of the river. And then someone finally speaks up and says, why don't we go a kilometer up and find out why people are falling in the river in the first place and see what we can do to prevent that from happening? Because we spend a lot of money getting people out of the river. We also need to find a way to understand why they fall in the first place and what can we do to prevent that from happening. And that's where my guests and our discussion this morning is going to take us. I love the concept of the Restorative Action Program, a great working partnership out of Saskatoon. And I've got a couple of great guests joining me in studio today to talk about this. Leanne Durand is the Restorative Action Program head. She is someone that can talk about this program and talk about all of the incredible impact that it's already had. Also joining, I talked about this is a partnership with the Saskatoon Police Service. So I've got Sergeant Erica Weber joining us. She is the coordinator on restorative justice with SPS. So Sergeant Weber and Leanne, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Evan.
Thanks. Good morning. Having us.
Great to have you both here. So let's talk about, Leanne, I'll start with you. Where did this concept come from? How was this idea, this program born?
Well, it was born in 2003. There was a group of teachers, admin, parents who are concerned about violence, recidivism, absenteeism at Mount Royal High School. And they got together and wanted to come up with a solution with the community. And they approached the Rotary group, actually, and began to work together and came up with what is now known as the Restorative Action Program.
So if we look at the Restorative Action Program that we have today, has it morphed a lot, Leanne, from those early days? If we go back 22 years ago from where it was first thought up, has it grown substantially, or is it still fairly true to the way it was envisioned off the start?
I think it's the roots definitely are the same, but yeah, it has, you know, it has grown and we've expanded dramatically. But I think the vision of what it set out to be is definitely the same. It started with a prevention lens, and that's what it continues to be.
Leanne Durand is the president of the Restorative Action Program. So what is the mandate? What do you do, Leanne?
Well, our main mandate is to keep kids in school and out of the justice system. We're a charity, and we do that mainly by helping students with conflict and to manage their mental health, build healthy relationships, and really keep them connected to the school and the community.
Right. Yeah, and I was looking, I was on your website. I mean, you deal with a lot. There's an impressive number of youth that you deal with. Can you give us some numbers of the scope of work that you do?
Yeah, so annually we deal with about 12,000 youth here in Saskatoon. And we've also expanded into one community, North Battleford. So we're also at the comp there.
Wow. I expect that something like this probably could continue to grow province-wide. I don't know if that's your vision, Leanne, but there's the likelihood it's already expanding to North Battleford. The chance of it growing even bigger, a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be... Our main mandate is to get all the high schools in Saskatoon covered first, mm-hmm. and then we'd really like to continue to expand into the rest of the province.
Leanne Durand is the president of the Restorative Action Program in Saskatoon. I want to bring Sergeant Erica Weber into this conversation. Your title, Restorative Justice Coordinator. Give us a sense, Sergeant Weber, of the work that you do.
Absolutely. So at Saskatoon Police Service, I believe we are one of the only police services in Canada to have a sworn officer in this role. I work closely in community and have expanded to working with prosecution, with legal aid, with the Ministry of Justice, and we partner closely with Saskatoon Tribal Council, Restorative Action Program, many community-based organizations to explore justice alternatives. Working through our pre-charge diversion program, as well as supporting our post-charge diversion program, and looking at how community referrals can be used to reduce risk and to reduce conflict with the law, mm-hmm. and help support individuals, particularly youth, on a different path. And I have a lot of autonomy to build that and grow that. And the strength of our work, particularly at Saskatoon Police Service, is through partnership with multiple stakeholders in community.
You know, sorry, I was just going to jump in, Erica, and say it's always important and interesting, and I'm hoping you can give us some insight as to why, when we hear about community-based initiatives, and we'll use this Restorative Action Program as an example, why is it important for police to be involved, knowing the goal is to get these youth out of, divert them away from, or prevent them from falling into a life in and out of the justice system? Why is it important for police to be involved? Why would the Saskatoon Police Service, for example, appoint someone, create a position like the one you've got as the Restorative Justice Coordinator?
There's always a public safety element. And when individuals are becoming involved in the justice system, policing has a role. But it doesn't have to be punitive. Justice is not always the justice system. And there are alternatives where we have to be accountable to as a police service to ensure we're exploring that as well. And we haven't historically always done a great job of that. But prior to creating this position, we had opportunity to divert through pre-charge diversion processes. And that was not being utilized to its full extent. And we actually had to work towards, within our police service, of making it mandatory that officers must consider pre-charge diversion if someone is eligible to be diverted from the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. And that's an important piece. We have to acknowledge that our systems are overwhelmed, that we play a role in that, and that we do actually cause harm by funneling people through our justice system. We have these incredible community-based programs that offer support, hold people accountable through community justice programs, and they are successful. We don't see recidivism happening or very low levels, and we can look at the reason why people are offending, causation, and we can work towards referrals to reducing risk and helping support people and systems be healthier.
Good stuff. We're going to take our first break, but it is a roundtable of justice discussion, so we have lots to explore yet. It's the how I want to get into when we come back. How do these youth get recommended for the program? What does the intake look like? What are the situations that often these youth are finding themselves in? And then, of course, we'll eventually talk about some outcomes, some success stories that we've seen. It's an incredible program, the Restorative Action Program. It's been up and running in Saskatoon for well over two decades. I've got President Leanne Durand joining us today and Sergeant Erica Weber with the Saskatoon Police Service here on the Roundtable of Justice. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
All right.
The Evan Bray Show. The Roundtable of Justice.
Today on the Roundtable of Justice, we are digging into something that is a very successful front-end program based out of Saskatoon, but it has very recently expanded into North Battleford as well. It's called the Restorative Action Program that works in partnership with the Saskatoon Police Service and basically provides restorative action programming and services, supports on both a social and emotional well-being side of youth. It prevents many youth from falling into a life of in and out of the justice system. There's a cost-saving element to it, and there's the human side of this, which is very important. And I've got two great guests in studio today to talk about this. The president of the Restorative Action Program, Leanne Durand, is joining me, and Sergeant Erica Weber, Restorative Justice Coordinator with the Saskatoon Police Service. Maybe let's start, Leanne, with who are these kids? Who are the youth that that we're seeing that are being helped by and supported by this program?
Well, you know, it's any high school student out there. It's not, I know we often have an idea that it would be a certain type of student, but actually a lot of kids out there are struggling with all kinds of issues. So, you know, we had a youth that one of my facilitators worked with, and her story is really remarkable. She started working with one of my facilitators in grade 9, really struggling with some mental health. She had some issues at home with family. And, you know, we started to see drop in attendance, and really bright, bright young woman. And started to work with my facilitator, and, she managed to work with her and bring out the confidence. She was also having some conflict with some of her peers. So my facilitator worked through mediation and got those issues resolved. And over the next 4 years, just worked with this young lady. And by the end of grade 12, this young woman was coaching volleyball. She was a successful dancer and had brought her academics up to a level that was so successful that she applied to the U of S and is now in the education program.
The one of many success stories I know that the Restorative Action Program has had. Sergeant Weber, can you talk about intake into this program and maybe the role SPS plays? I'm guessing just one of many partners that are involved in that process, trying to identify youth that could benefit from RAP.
Absolutely. I actually worked as a school resource officer earlier in my career, and RAP was just coming into our high schools at that time. So initially at Mount Royal and then had expanded out. And I remember receiving a brochure, and I had it tacked on my pegboard, and I would look up and think, you know, lots of times in policing, we don't know all the resources that are out there. And working within the school system, you quickly learn what type of collaboration is happening. And immediately RAP became a go-to for me. And referrals we have at SPS, because we are connected with all the RAP facilitators within our high schools, we work closely through different varying levels of conflict. Sometimes we're seeing behavior that is worrisome, and in those stages where we want to ensure that we can keep an individual out of the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. So making a referral to our RAP facilitator to ensure that this is what we're seeing on our end, because in community, people act out, and in schools, students act out, maybe in a different way, but that's not always being paralleled. Mm-hmm. And when we have this ability to have someone come on our radar in a community, especially as a youth, and we know the more we can invest in youth, the healthier our community will be in the long run.
Can you give us a couple of examples, Erica? Mm-hmm. Give us a couple of, like, what would be something that would trigger a referral to the RAP program?
We have a lot of conflict with students as it relates to maybe online threats, sexual harassment, assaults that are happening out in community. We even see, even through our pre-charge diversion program on a referral form, we always ask what school the student attends. Because once they start that early onset into criminal activity, we want to ensure not only do we have supports wrapping around them in community through our, like, through Saskatoon Tribal Council, we also want to make sure that we're reaching out to the school and saying, hey, could you wrap around them as well at school? These are the areas of risk we're seeing, and we'll submit a referral that way. So we can get multi-layered support, because we know the more people that are caring for this individual, helping support them, the better success they'll have moving forward.
Sergeant Erica Weber is with the Saskatoon Police Service, and Leanne Durand is also joining us, the president of the Restorative Action Program. One of the first things you said, Leanne, this morning is the goal of the program is to keep kids in school and out of the justice program. That connection with school and education obviously is an important tenet throughout this whole program.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, we are embedded right in the high schools. So we are one of the only third-party providers that works right in the high schools. So our facilitators have their offices in the high schools. And we work directly with the student services team. So we are part of the student services team. And we that's where we get our referrals from. We get our referrals from admin, teachers. And we have a really great success rate. We have 45% of our referrals come right from students or their peers. We also will take referrals from the community and parents. So yeah, that we are integrated right into the schools.
So you know, I'm curious. Maybe we'll take a break and then we'll come back, because you know, clearly when you're doing the assessment, and we can talk when we come back about what that looks like, something has happened that has caused a referral. But once that referral comes through, then there's a bit of an assessment. Sometimes it could be home life or other life challenges these kids have. That make this intake up an important part of it. But then what are the strategies? What does that wraparound support look like? What are the programs that are offered? What type of facilitators and coordinators do you have that are effectively leading these sessions and making this difference? That's where we'll go with our guests from the Restorative Action Program when we come back on the Roundtable of Justice here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
All right.
The Evan Bray Show. The Roundtable of Justice.
Thanks for joining us today. The Roundtable of Justice, digging into a great program based out of Saskatoon called the Restorative Action Program, RAP for short. We've got President Leanne Durand joining us, Sergeant Erica Weber with the Saskatoon Police Service. She's the Restorative Justice Coordinator with SPS. So just before the break, we were talking about what that intake or referral process looks like. It can come, as we heard from Sergeant Weber, from a variety of different sources, not just the police. It could come from educators, could come from community and family members. So Leanne, let's talk a little bit about the process that then I'm assuming does some sort of a deeper dive on the circumstances these youth are dealing with, so that you can put together a program custom made to try and help them. What does that discovery process, for lack of a better term, look like?
Yeah, for sure. So I'd like to begin. We have a logic model, and it's PIR. It's prevention, intervention, and reconnection. So we start kind of the beginning of the year. We do a lot of presentations on conflict management, healthy relationships, getting out into the classrooms and just letting the students know who we are and what we do. And then that's when the referrals start to come in, like I said, whether it's from admin, community, or the students themselves. And then that's when we start to look at the intervention piece. So what does a student need from us? And it always begins with a one-on-one. So we sit down and take the time with a student and start to learn what they need and start to build trust. Because I think we all know with teenagers, before they're ever going to tell you what's going on with them, they have to start to trust you. And so the main tenet of our program is that we build relationships. That's what's so important. And so we start to figure out what is the root cause of what is going on with that student, whether it's a conflict, whether it's mental health, whatever is going on with them. We want to find out what the root cause is, and then we look at building from there how to change that behavior or how to work with that student to come up with new tools to move forward in their life. And that can look like we might move forward with, if it's conflict, then that looks like a mediation. So we get involved with the two parties, or the sometimes it might be like, you know, sometimes we've had up to like 10 kids in conflict. So we have to, that takes a lot of time where we have interviews with all the students and then bring them together and work through a mediation with them. So that's a more formal process. Mm-hmm. Other times it's just sitting down with the student, finding out what's going on at home. What do you need? So our facilitators end up dealing with food insecurity, homelessness, like I said, mental health, which is a really big issue with students right now. Sometimes it's academic problems or problems within the school culture. And then the reconnection piece is often, which is really unique to our program, is when a student is suspended, for example, they're given a 3-day suspension. What happens is if you have a RAP facilitator in your school, the admin will bring that student back on that last day of the suspension instead of being outside of the school and have them come and work with our facilitator and talk about what happened, how can things change, what can I can do different, instead of them just coming back into the school with having no resolution or having no new tools or understanding of what brought them to that place, and then trying to get them reconnected back into the school and the mm-hmm. community.
Mm-hmm. Leanne Durand is one of my two guests. Leanne, the president of Restorative Action Program. Sergeant Erica Weber, do you find a lot of these youth are receptive, Sergeant Weber, or that are wanting this help, or does it take some time, as Leanne was talking about, to build that relationship? What's that been like?
It always takes time to build trust, especially, I mean, with anybody, but youth can be somewhat leery, and you have an adult here, and you're like, who are you? What's your deal? And with RAP facilitators in the past, I just thought they've been brilliant. I work closely with several RAP facilitators at Tommy Douglas Collegiate over the years, and they would be out skateboarding with the kids at a break or helping coach teams. So you're building those relationships. You're getting to know kids, and they're seeing you as like one of them.
Right.
But seeing you as a really healthy role model, you're modeling in a different way. And what's so important is that piece. I mean, teachers are in the business of education. RAP facilitators are in the business of resolving conflict and helping support youth. That's their bread and butter of what they do. In the school, educators can focus on teaching. Mm. And then these RAP facilitators are there to help resolve some of these issues that are becoming barriers in relationships or to students even being at school. It's brilliant.
Let's talk a little bit about the how. Sergeant Weber indicated, you know, gave us a couple of good examples. But Leanne, I know this isn't just facilitators one-on-one in a stale conference room talking. There's lots of innovative ways that these connections and supports are being entrenched. Can you talk about that and how that helps the program succeed?
Yeah, so our facilitators are, like Sergeant Weber was alluding to, is they are very active within the school. They are out in the hallways. They are part of the school community. And one of the things is our program has, we have a set program. Like I said, we have a logic model, which is the PIR, but then we tell the facilitators they are to adapt to the school culture. They go in there and they bring whatever the school needs. They are to become part of that school, and they are involved with the students in whatever activities, that the students are involved in. They are there to be a helping hand. They are there to be that trusted adult. We have an open door policy. So that is what makes us really different from, say, a counselor in the school. You don't have to book an appointment. We are that person that the student can just turn to. I've heard stories of, there's this recently, one of my facilitators was telling me that this one student that they are working with particularly just needed a place to come and vent and literally just scream. And so they would come in and just, you know, have to just offload, come in, do that, and then they could settle down and talk through exactly what was going on. And I also heard another story of a student who was like, they'd been working with my facilitator, and they came to them and they just came to the door and they said, you know what? I didn't hit anyone. I had to come. I knew to come here first. I knew to just come talk to you. And I didn't hit that person. And so they were so proud of themselves because they'd been working with my facilitator. And so that was just like such a great step in the right direction for them, that they did not do what they really, really felt like they wanted to do. So there was that sober second thought.
Sure. And I think, I'm sure there's people listening to this that are thinking, well, that's good. Kids shouldn't be hitting or assaulting other students. Can you talk about now and share? We're getting close to the end of this segment. In fact, you know what? I'm going to save it. Let's take the break now. When we come back, I want to give both of you an opportunity to talk about it from the true restorative justice aspect. What are a couple of success stories? I know, Leanne, you've laid one out already. Success stories, how it's not only impacted in a positive way the youth that you're working with, but other youth in the school, the type of feedback you've heard. I'd love to hear a couple of stories, and then we'll wrap up talking a bit about funding and next steps. We've got Leanne Durand, Sergeant Erica Weber here talking about the Restorative Action Program out of Saskatoon. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
All right. The Evan Bray Show, the Roundtable of Justice.
So today on the Roundtable of Justice, we've been talking about the Restorative Action Program based out of Saskatoon. President and CEO Leanne Durand, one of my guests, Sergeant Erica Weber with the Saskatoon Police Service, who are partners in this program, also one of my guests. What I'd like to do here as we get close to wrapping up is hear a couple of success stories. Success stories mean for the youth that are being helped, for other individuals, whether it's youth or teachers in the school and the community as a whole. Leanne, can I start with you? Have you got a success story that comes to mind that RAP was able to make a significant difference in the life of this young person?
Certainly. I just want to say, when it comes to like the restorative justice lens, the one thing that is really important to remember is that when students or anyone is in conflict, the main thing is getting repair. And so when you have an instigator and we call them instigator and targets in the adult world, they're called victim and offenders, but that's not the language that we use. What has to happen is there has to be the instigator has to take responsibility. And so that's a really important piece, because normally it's just punishment. So we've had students who like could not even be in the same classroom together. So you can imagine in a school setting and you have students, these two students who couldn't even be in the same classroom together because they were fighting in the hallway. So my facilitator took them, interviewed them separately, found out the cause, and it's a lot of drama generally. And sat them down, had an interview with each of them, did a mediation, took responsibility, the instigator took responsibility, and as we all know, everybody thinks it's the other person's fault. But as long as you're willing to take at least a small part of the responsibility, at the end of it, this facilitator mediated and had the two students talking, and at the end of it, the two of them were joking, laughing, and, you know, it was all resolved because they got to the root of the issue, mm-hmm. and were able to sit in the classroom together and move forward. And if they hadn't spent the time doing that, I mean, this could have gone on and on. It could have escalated. They both could have been suspended and even expelled from mm-hmm. the school.
Yeah.
So, like, what a difference that would have made in those students' lives.
Exponential impact could be huge. Sergeant Weber, have you got one for me?
Well, you know, I was thinking back, how often do we submit referrals and we don't always know what happens as the final outcome of that referral? I do know, looking back, we had students we were working alongside and where criminal charges are being laid, and also looking at maybe adding conditions in order to keep a victim safe. You look at that public safety piece of no contact. But in the context of education, can be difficult requesting a no contact because that prevents them at times from attending the same school or being in the same classes. So we have been able to reflect on, is this going to cause more harm? Is it going to catapult that individual into being isolated even more and maybe increase their risk in community? Or can we work with our RAP facilitator to come up with a plan to keep the victim safe and hold the individual accountable, but continuing in that facility together and mm-hmm. moving forward, which is very important. But that being said, if that's not an opportunity, what do other avenues look like? And that's something we've been able to work with the RAP facilitator as well as administration to navigate those pieces.
Sergeant Erica Weber with the Saskatoon Police Service, one of two guests, the president, CEO of the Restorative Action Program, Leanne Durand, also here. Leanne, I'm going to come to you with, we've got about 2 minutes left. I want to understand how you're funded. Is it sustainable funding, or what does that look like? And what are your plans for the future? Where do you see this program going?
So we are, like I said, we are a charity. So we are funded we get some government funding, but we do need the community support. And what are our plans for the future? Well, we are in 14 of the 16 high schools here in Saskatoon. So we have two more high schools to get to. We are currently not in Marion Graham or in Aidan Bowman. So our big goal is to get into those last two high schools here in Saskatoon. And then we would love to start looking to the rest of the province. Like I said, we are currently in North Battleford. That's been our first sort of pilot project. This is our second year there, and it has been an absolute success so far. So, yeah, and then, yeah, we'd like to just continue because it's an amazing program, and I believe every high school needs it. And if you ask any administrator who has worked with RAP, they will tell you it is an absolute essential program for a high school.
The beauty of being able to talk about it the way we have today is the hope that we can connect you with, whether it's community partner support or just individuals that want to support. I know I provided you with a connection. Julie from North Battleford sent us a message while we were chatting saying, here's my number. Please pass it along. I'd love to connect. Where can people find you? I know you've got a website, Leanne.
Yeah. They can find us at www.rapsaskatoon.org.
So just rapsaskatoon.org. And do you have a donation ability there as well?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. We have a donate page, and we take any donations, whatever size.
Well, this has been a great chat. Love the program. Love the success stories. Wish you continued success. Leanne Durand, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Sergeant Erica Weber, thank you for the commitment Saskatoon Police Service and you yourself have shown investing in this program and others like it, the importance of restorative justice, obviously a big part of this. So thank you for your time as well.
Thanks so much, Evan.
You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Call 1-877 888-332-8255. The Evan Bray Show, the voice of Saskatchewan. 650 CKOM.